It's a changing world, and one of the things that help us understand the changing world is research. And so as churches have been struggling and families may be disconnected and sometimes drifting away from the church, we're kind of dealing with some of the questions of where do we go from here? And the Communio Nationwide Survey on Faith and Relationships really kind of points to the family decline and how it relates to faith decline in the United States. Actually, the survey has three key issues that are impacting our society today. Go to communio.org/study to download the nationwide study on faith and relationships.
Welcome to the Transforming the Church podcast, hosted by Dr. Derwin L. Gray. We pray that through this podcast, you will be empowered to live on mission with Jesus and lead courageously. Here's your host, Dr. Derwin L. Gray.
The year was 1998. I know that was a minute ago. Like Google maybe wasn't even around. Amazon may have just been getting started. But here's the deal, though. In 1997, on August 2nd, I met Jesus through a five-year relationship through one of my teammates named Steve Grant. But his nickname was the Naked Preacher, because literally after practice, he would wrap a towel around his waist and begin to share Christ with my teammates. And eventually, he shared Christ with me. And it was a five-year process of me discovering the unrelenting, life-giving, sin-forgiving, death-defeating, resurrecting love of Jesus. I was head over heels in love with him. And I didn't know that I was supposed to share my faith. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to not share my faith. This is what I did know, that if Jesus can meet me in my mess, that if Jesus can love and forgive me, he can do that for anybody. So I had a friend who was a sports reporter for one of the local TV stations there in Indianapolis, and we had built a relationship, and I had been sharing my faith with him, even though I thought that was just what every Christian does, is that you're so joyful, you're so excited about being loved by God, you want others to be ravaged by his love. So I didn't know I was doing anything. That was just what you did, right? So we're at my house in Indianapolis, we're in my study, and the sports reporter has this moment where he's like, I'm ready to follow Christ. And so I lay the gospel out to him that we have a good God, a good, gracious God who wants to love us. But as a result of being spiritually dead, we are separated from him. We need our sin forgiven. And so I lead him through this process of understanding that Jesus Christ is the one who died in his place to give him grace, who rose again and not only forgive his sin, to make him a part of his family, to give him this assurance that he belongs to Christ. And after we prayed, my news reporter friend just started crying and he started cussing. So sanctification was not complete, but he started cussing because he was just overwhelmed. Like, it wasn't bad cussing, but nevertheless, he was cussing, but tears was flowing down his face. And he was like, I can't believe this. Anyway, in the midst of that, it was a beautiful moment. And today he's still walking with Christ. His daughter walked strong with Christ. There are times that I will recommend resources for her spiritual formation. It's beautiful. But as I think back to that moment in 1998, I think about, man, what an epic feeling it is to be used by Jesus himself to introduce people to his amazing grace, to introduce people to becoming a new creation, a part of his family. Jesus is very, very passionate about reaching people who don't know him. As a matter of fact, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he tells his disciples, go make disciples of all ethnos, of everyone. What is a disciple? A disciple is an apprentice and a student. Jesus is saying, introduce people to me so they can learn to live from my life, to develop the mind of Christ through the Spirit of God to become the people that he's created them to be. And what do those people look like? They look like people who are growing in an awareness of God's great love for them. And so like a rose blossoming to the sun, they love him back, and then they begin to love themselves correctly. correctly, which in essence means you begin to find your satisfaction, you begin to find your identity in Christ, and that moves you into the world that wherever your feet are, you are on mission to love people, to embody the gospel, to share the good news. And how does that take place? It's because Christ is in us. When Jesus says, and I will show you, I will make you fishers of men. That's Matthew 4:19. Jesus is the one who inhabits us to give us the spiritual habit of sharing our faith. Now, what is that called? That's called evangelism, from the Greek word evangelion, which means good news, that there is good news for the world. What is that news? Jesus of Nazareth is the true Lord of the universe. He is the King of Kings. So listen, pastors, ministry leaders, Christians who want to lead an effect change, Jesus is Lord. That is done. That is the good news. And because he's Lord, he lived a sinless life on behalf of humanity, died a representative substitutionary death on the cross to forgive our sins in place of humanity, and rose again on the third day, ascended back to the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to live through his people to do what? To be conformed to his image. We have good news. If news is that good, why don't more followers of Jesus share the faith? So I'm just going to give you a few here. And the goal of this podcast is not necessarily to work through why we don't share faith, but to get to the real problem of why we don't share our faith. This episode is called, we don't have an evangelism problem, we have a worship problem. We don't have an evangelism problem, we have a worship problem, because whatever we behold, we want others to behold. And whatever we behold takes hold of us. So why don't more followers of Jesus share their faith? Number one, it's fear. It's fear of rejection. It's fear of, man, I don't know what I'm going to say. So we have fear. We also have a time issue. Man, we are a busy people. My goodness. I mean, we got recreational sports on Sundays. My son was one of the top high school football players in the country. And so he ended up getting a football scholarship. So I know the pressure of Sunday participation. And we just wouldn't do it. On occasion, he would do something on a Sunday for his sports, but it was rare. It was an occasion. For some parents, you are teaching your children to neglect Sunday worship in pursuit that they'll be the next LeBron James or next whatever, and they get to college and you're going, wait a second, they don't want to attend worship. Well, you taught them for years during basketball season, basketball takes a priority. We're just busy with so much stuff, not only with kids' activities, but just busy with other stuff. But here's the deal. Busy stands for being under Satan's yoke, being under Satan's yoke. We want to be fruitful. We want to be productive. Indifference. Some people are just indifferent to sharing their faith. And if I can say this bluntly and lovingly, an indifferent Christian is a person who's not experienced the difference of Christ. Jesus makes a difference. And then lastly is, I don't know what to say. Right? So those are those fears. And in a future podcast, we'll unpack those more. But listen to this, 32% of US adults and teens are highly spiritually open. People are open across all generations. According to Barna, the majority of people are spiritually open. Two-thirds of elders, 66%, are moderately open. Teenagers especially are incredibly open, like 75%. People are open to hearing the gospel. But why don't we share it? Because we don't have an evangelism problem. We have a worship problem. The Transforming the Church podcast is a part of the Church Leaders Podcast Network, which is dedicated to resourcing church leaders in order to help them face the complexities of ministry. Church Leaders Podcast Network supports pastors and ministry leaders by challenging assumptions, providing insights, and offering practical steps that will help church leaders navigate a variety of cultures and contexts. Learn more at churchleaders.com/podcast network. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel. And I want to show you what happens when worship of King Jesus captivates you. So check this out. Number one, pastors, ministry leaders, have you seen Jesus and his epic holiness? You're like, well, what do you mean, Pastor Derwin? Of course I see him. I preach sermons. No, hold on. No. You can preach a sermon and you can be in ministry and not know Christ. You can be far from him. Your heart can be far from him. Be careful working for Jesus and missing the work of Jesus in you. So have we seen Jesus and his epic holiness? Listen to Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. Because what we see, we teach and splash and overflow to the people that we serve. It was the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. By the way, go to John 12, 41, and you'll see that Isaiah saw Jesus within the Trinity. The Father originates, the Son reveals, the Holy Spirit executes. So Isaiah sees Jesus. He's sitting on a lofty throne and a train of his robe filled the temple. The temple is where the presence of God was. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. They were calling out to each other. Notice what they're calling out to each other. It's not this practical, practical, practical. Fix my problems, fix my problems, fix my problems. So I'm being sarcastic, but so much of our preaching and so much of our leading is devoid of Christ. It's business principles. Nothing wrong with business principles if Christ is communicated as the power to execute, because all truth is God's truth. But notice what the mighty angels are saying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Holiness is the utter perfection of God's love, his utter distance and estrangement from sin. Holy is pure love. He's pure, beautiful. When you preach and teach, does the greatness of Jesus come out? Are you more concerned about your cute little illustrations? Don't get me wrong, illustrations are important. But if you preach your illustrations more passionately than you do Jesus, that's a problem. You don't want people leaving with your illustrations. You want your illustrations to be a window that people go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that they are stunned by him. Are you preaching Jesus's greatness or Jesus's usefulness? There's a vast difference. Number two, pastor, ministry leaders, have you recognized Jesus' holiness and beautiful? Look at verse 4. Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I'm living among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Has Jesus become too familiar to us? Are we still in awe of him? As A.W. Tozier says in his incredible book, Knowledge of the Holy, the greatest thought that we ever have will be our thought about God. Do we have big thoughts about God rooted in scripture, or have we dumbed down the scripture and made it so practical that we've practically preached Jesus out of his own house? How do we lead? Do we lead with business principles? And if I can just be honest, I am just frustrated when I sit in meetings with pastors and I don't hear the name of Jesus. I'm frustrated when I hear talks to other leaders and I don't hear the magnificence of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the majesty of Jesus. And we wonder why we have congregations that don't share their faith. Would you share your faith in someone that's not very impressive? That's why we're more impressed with celebrities than we are Jesus. Number three, pastor, ministry leader, have you experienced his grace? Because when you've drank deeply from the well of God's grace, you want others to drink from his well of grace. When you have tasted the goodness of God, you want others to taste the goodness of God. Verse 6 of Isaiah 6 says this, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven. Let's pause here. Notice the angel flew to Isaiah. Notice Jesus came to us. Religion says reach God by what you do. Grace says God reached us by what he's done. Are you over the grace of God? Are you over the forgiveness of God? Are you over the majesty of Jesus? There's a difference between a Welly Craft 3-point sermon with practical application than someone who's been with Jesus and who is overwhelmed by the fact that a holy and righteous and beautiful God would love and forgive and grace and say, I want you with me. See, out of the overflow of who you are, that's how you're going to lead. That's how you're going to preach. You see, we don't have an evangelism problem. We have a worship problem. Okay, pastors. All right. All up in your grill, all up in there. Maybe the reason why people don't share their faith in Christ and why they don't invite people who don't know Christ to your services is because you're not communicating Christ. Give them something to share. Give them something to talk about beyond a hype experience. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. You don't have to be a dynamic preacher to be faithful. Just be faithful and the Holy Spirit will make it dynamic enough. Lastly, number four, pastor, ministry, leader, are you on mission with Jesus yourself? So listen to verse 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us? Notice what Isaiah said. Here I am, send me. We are a sent people, but ministry leaders and pastors, if you are not exemplifying and embodying being on mission, your people aren't going to. What are the stories of you being on mission other than the pulpit? So one of the things that I do is for years, there's a coffee shop that I go to for years, like 15 years. I work on my sermons there. I study there. I read there. Why? Because I am on mission. Before I go in, I pray, God, bring people to me that don't know you so they can know you. Help me to love them. Help me to care for them. Give me an opportunity to share your grace. So if the only time I'm on mission is on Sundays when I preach, I'm a fraud. And so are you. So I want to encourage you to reorchestrate your life, to be around people, to model being on mission, because here's the deal. We don't have an evangelism problem. We have a worship problem. And whatever we behold takes hold of us, and we want others to behold what has taken behold of us. We have the greatest message in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May we behold Jesus so Jesus takes hold of us. This is Pastor Derwin. Marinate on that. When the church is transformed, the world will be transformed.
You know, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I love research. I used to lead a research company. So I love when research helps to illustrate a question we have. And one of the questions a lot of people are having is, how do we look to the decline of the family, maybe the relationship around fatherhood and issues of faith and church? Well, again, the Communio Nationwide Study on Faith and Relationships actually points to the collapse of marriage, where resident fatherhood fits into that, and how they all point ultimately to a relationship to Christianity and decline in the church. So visit communio.org/study to download Communio's Nationwide Study on Faith and Relationships.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Transforming the Church. If you found this episode helpful or encouraging, please subscribe, leave us a review, and share this with someone in your life. For more resources, head to transformationchurch.tc/podcast.